Zom face, what you're dealing with, hazmat rap. Check your pulse, you ain't feeling
black
this.
Is dope, fly it in snook off the top rope. Phantom of the op, swinging my cloak, chopping your throat. I know I'm nice, but don't gas me, paw. All hail Lazar, bringing action like Run Run Shaw. Blast the ball, you won't run no more. Black Panther movie debut, Marvel Civil War. While you rolling through the ER, strapped to a gurney, I'm strapped on a yacht with Zom face on another journey. Spark fires in the booth, human torch couldn't burn me. Your final rest.
Hello and welcome to the I Want More Comics podcast. I'm Zach.
I'm Richie.
I'm Shawnee.
And here we are.
That's not how you say your name.
Yeah. Episode 37.
Friends, close friends call me that.
Quit
You're not
jumping
a close
on my
friend.
Kool-Aid.
So, we have another episode coming up, and we're going to have some fun discussion tonight.
That's right.
It's going to be fun spinning the racks later on, so stay tuned for that.
Yes.
We're going to jump into the news right now. And one of the things, we're going to talk about some store events, but we're also going to bring up one thing I thought was pretty fun and will probably make us all very happy. Mm-hmm. Marvel announced that they're going to be doing a new Darth Vader comic.
What?
Written by Charles Soule, artwork by Giuseppe Camuncoli.
Better be good or I'm going to fight somebody.
Right.
And it's been described as Darth Vader Year One.
Interesting.
The writer says that it takes place, it starts 1 minute after Revenge of the Sith.
When he's right after the no.
Yes, he. Yep. Nope. Mm.
That's like a great DJ sound.
I know the. I know like. Sorry. I know the first panel is gonna be like no. Because he said it so long.
Yeah, and I guess they're also going to describe...
That was bad. It was just looked at me. Like, didn't even, like, try.
Yeah, I think we all try and forget the dumb.
We need a noise right here that's just crickets for you.
That would be, yeah.
Stop.
But it was also described that you're going to find out why Darth Vader's lightsaber is red.
Because he's Sith?
And I guess he builds his lightsaber, so we'll see.
Maybe he just likes the color red, yo.
He could. He very much could. So they're doing that, and they did it, and Marvel announced that this was going to be an ongoing comic book. So.
Oh, Marvel.
So they want the love.
You had me a gasp at your integrity, and all right, I'll see what happens. They have some big shoes to fill.
They do have some big shoes. But Charles Soule is good. He wrote the...
Well, they do have the mouse and Lucas that are trying to... They have to prove everything that's even done. So
sure.
They can't go too far off the rails of crazy.
They can't do too crazy stuff, yeah. But Charles Soule, he wrote the Lando miniseries, which was quite good.
Absolutely.
So he's a good writer. Giuseppe Camuncoli, he's done a lot of different things. Very interesting that he's going to be doing a Darth Vader comic. So we will see, but it's Star Wars and Darth Vader, so I will get it.
We'll try it out.
So we're going to talk about some in-store events coming up. Last week we brought up our book club. We just want to bring that up again, that is fast approaching. We're going to be doing it on March 30th, 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. And we're going to be talking about Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips' Criminal, Volume 1.
Sweet Criminal.
Named Coward. So if you need to find the book, if you need to read it, you can find it that way. And we have copies here in the store as well.
And if you don't mind spoilers and just want to hear about the book and maybe see some people passionate about comics and just talking about it, show up anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, if you just want
to
come.
It's not a necessity. Yeah. So.
Wear pants.
You do have to wear pants. Yes. I agree with that.
Next week we are going to be doing our EXO Manowar store promotion.
I know.
And that's going to be really cool.
We just got the list of stuff. Did you see that?
Yes, we did. It's going to be crazy. So what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be doing an in-store event. We're going to put up more through a video next week. It'll be on our Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But just right now, just so you guys can know, we're going to be doing a raffle for some really cool items. And anybody who buys an EXO Manowar number one, the issue, gets one raffle ticket into there. That's it. That's all you got to do. If you buy a EXO Manowar and a trade paperback, you get those for a special discount.
Oh.
And a raffle ticket.
How many raffle tickets do I get?
Zero.
What?
So,
well, first, we don't like you.
This is gypped.
Yeah, we are going to have
second,
some...
you kind of work for us. What? So that's kind of, you know,
yeah,
messed up.
We're going to have some special number ones that we have special ordered from Valiant. Number one trade paperbacks that will be available at a cool discount for you guys. So if you want to try something other than Exo Manowar. We talked about it before in the podcast, but Exo Manowar number one is a really great book. And I had somebody come in today just talking about if they should be picking up Exo Manowar number one. We said, yeah, check out this art. And he loved it. And it's going to be an awesome.
We still have book. That available for people that want to see
the artwork. Is amazing.
Yeah, you got to come in and just look at
it. I want the pencils. The color stuff looks all right and it's fine and all that, but God, the pencils.
I'm excited to read that monthly. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to. Because I think that they're really.
Give me all the paper cuts from the Exo Manowar.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have some really cool things, some signed stuff, some exclusive stuff, like some really exclusive stuff.
Yeah.
So check out our Facebook. Make sure you continue to look up that. We're going to be going Exo Manowar crazy next week, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
So.
I'm excited.
And then the last thing I wanted to hit on before we get into our picks of the week is that we are going to start kind of ramping up a little bit of our manga section here. Hmm. And I want to hear from you guys, if anybody out there is into manga.
Guys.
Yeah, anybody out there who's listening and who's like, oh yeah, I like that, or I've wanted to get into it, but I don't know where to, you know, start. Please talk to us here, put something on Facebook. Let me know kind of what the audience is, because I'd like to see and hear what...
Well, part of the manga section that we've stalked this whole time is we tried to stay away from stuff that was readily available at Barnes & Noble, you know, other bookstores. And our stuff's more probably adult-oriented than it is kid-oriented. I mean, we do have Legend of Zelda and a couple other things, but we've definitely gone down a path where it's usually stuff Zach and I have read.
Yes, exactly.
And it's usually stuff that's more adult in nature, obviously. So, but if somebody is interested in other things, we're looking for
those kind of suggestions as well. I just want to kind of
we can get it.
Yeah, and I just kind of want to feel what the the base is. It's something that we don't talk about a ton around here, and I'd like to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know, you know, if there are people that are interested but have never tried, if there are people that love it that just never bring it up because they don't think of us as a manga store, which is, you know, fair. We'd like to start, you know, kind of changing that. So let us know. Talk to us. Just I want to hear some conversations.
I'll talk Attack on Titan all day.
Yeah, and there's some great stuff that Sean and I have read that is going to be way more in your Quentin Tarantino, fun, crazy, but yet, and when we say adult, we mean, you know, darker themes, things like that, not just...
what's the one I was telling you about that I'm reading?
Ikigami.
Ikigami.
I love Ikigami.
I'm on volume 3 of Ikigami, and it's awesome. Damn it.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite...
The book can give you serious emotions and freak you out.
Yeah.
And one of my favorites is Naoki Urasawa's Monster. Mm-hmm. Naoki Urasawa, anything he does is awesome.
I like 21st Century Boys, or 20th Century Boys,
20th Century Boys.
Which actually won an Eisner, didn't it?
I think it did, yep.
Oh.
Yep. He's a really well-known manga writer and artist, and he does kind of offshoot stuff. It's more realistic kind of stuff, which is really cool. So yeah, I just want to hear from people. Let us know if you're into that or would like to get into it.
For sure.
All right, so let's get into our picks of the week.
Ooh.
Richie, let's go with you.
Okay.
What do you have there?
A book.
It's a comic.
Yeah, so I was going to pick my typical picks, because those are currently the ones I'm really into right now, Jessica Jones being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of talk about that, I wanted to throw out something that I read a week before that is still currently available that I think people might have missed, and I haven't
talked
about.
Number 2 just came out for this week.
Number 2 just came out this week. It's Wildstorm with Warren Ellis.
Mm.
DC Comics is doing...
So really quickly before you get into this,
go ahead.
Have you read any other Wildstorm before this?
Mm-mm.
Any of the Warren... You've never read any of the Warren Ellis...
The original Warren Ellis, no.
Yeah, like
no
Authority. Stormwatch, Authority. You never read any of that stuff?
No.
Dude.
No.
Yeah.
All right,
I was just curious.
Yeah, because this came highly recommended from you guys, and that's how I usually pick... to pick up the new ones. I like to get a little more informed so I can pitch some other things outside of my comfort zone. And Wildstorm, reading it, it definitely feels like this is a Warren Ellis world, because he manipulates the characters so fluidly that it doesn't jar you at all. I almost felt like these are strangers
that he knows
very well. He's
played with for a very long time. It's his sandbox, for sure.
You can tell from this book that that's exactly how he writes it to people that And again, I haven't read those old series, so you don't have to jump in on this right now.
No, you don't. This is his reimagining, because DC said, we want to do something with these characters. They tried to put him into the new DC universe with the new 52. That didn't really click
I think it watered it down a little too much.
Yeah. So they said, Warren, we want you to take a book and do the entire Wildstorm universe with all the different characters and make it your own and just do it. And that's what this is.
And that's it's exactly what happens in the first issue. It's just stellar. John Davis Hunt, the artist, is amazing. It's I can't say enough about how fluid the book is. I read it so quickly because it just took me in, and I burned through it. The story seems like high concept, but easy to swallow, very easy to follow and get there. The characters are all very unique. Each one of them are introduced in a unique way. And I don't know what more to say without giving a lot of it away, but there's a lot of invasion and tech issues in this world, and it just seems like a lot of people having the right idea in the wrong moment, or a lot of people having the wrong intentions with the right idea, and playing with that kind of concept. So it keeps you flipping the page to the very end, and I'm can't wait to read the second issue. I get to take that home tonight, so
yeah, that'll be cool.
But I highly suggest it. It's an easy pickup. It's easily going to be one of the ones I want to read when it comes out. And the characters, like I said, I'm not familiar with them, so I think that if you haven't picked them up before, don't let it be daunting. Pick up this comic. If you have, I think you'll enjoy it even more.
Well, and also, you're given something to Warren Ellis that he cares about, and Warren Ellis is fantastic when he cares about a certain book or he cares about some worlds.
When he's got the ideas percolating, he comes out of left field with a whole bunch of crazy stuff,
and he can do some really great work. Mm-hmm. But he's worked in this universe a lot because they've allowed him to do a lot more with.
He's pretty free with what he can do.
So. Yeah. So excellent.
Yeah, but again, excellent book, easy pickup, very easy suggest, especially if you're into sci-fi, even like a hardcore drama or like a friend conflict type stories. All of those fit this.
And it's one world in one comic.
That's right.
So
I didn't get a feel that this was connected to DC or Rebirth in any form. I didn't even feel like it was a DC comic. It's a little more adult themed, and I wouldn't say grotesque, but it's adult themed, and just engaging as hell. So
yeah, Warren Ellis, good stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, Sean, I know this is a favorite of yours, so let's.
Yeah, you just so this hear is, about this one.
I'm actually going to read part the description from the internet for this, because it's easier to do that than try to explain this in my own words.
Yeah.
So this is Sky Doll, the new Sky Doll volume, and I love this comic book. So I like a lot of European comic books. Mm-hmm. This one's Italian. The creative team for this one is Barbucci and Canepa. I don't know if I'm butchering those.
That's fine.
Because that they're Italian.
Yeah.
If I am, I apologize. But this, like, the artwork in this is just so different. Like, European artists are different. They're just different.
I would agree with that, yes.
So if anybody's seen any of the Humanoids books, that's all European stuff. This is kind of along those lines. This is done by from Titan, and it was originally produced from Marvel because they were trying to get into the European world and try to kind of show other people, you know, that, hey, there's other stuff out there. Check this out.
Right.
It was kind of successful. Like, they at least got to finish their arcs and their stories, but Marvel never continued on with their Soleil line. So,
right.
Yep. Which was where this was originally produced. Now, the story behind the first, like, the base story here is basically two spiritual representatives. Not really religious, because one is a spiritual representation of love and one's spiritual representation of sexuality, which are two different things.
Okay.
And they're kind of warring. And one of them gets banished. So the spiritual love gets banished.
Okay.
So you're like, that causes spiritual and sexual freedoms to be perverted.
Okay.
So one of the spiritual love people are heretics, basically. They've been branded as heretics.
Right.
There is a...
So love is a foreign concept now, and if you participate, it's like Satanism and stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
So sexual love, which is the other one, they rule the galaxy through extensive control of mass media using miracles to impress fanatical populace.
Interesting.
So the main character in here is Noah. She's a sky doll. That means she's a lifelike android without rights. She represents a young female. She exists only to serve the state's desires. And that is very sexual in nature.
Right.
So she's basically an android that is a prostitute.
A government-funded sex bot?
Yes.
Gotcha.
But the kicker is she becomes sentient.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she starts to begin to realize that she starts having all these memories. Well, the memories are that of the divine being that's actually the opposing people in control.
Oh, wow.
So she's trying to deal with that and... be a sex bot, basically.
So she finally gets the concept of self and
realizes that she's a deity.
Right. And and she's still also a government sex bot.
Yeah. So she's trying to absolutely break free. And of course, you know, things go sideways as they always do in stories like this.
If that's not a pitch, I don't know what is.
And this is definitely something where you could only do in the European world because American audiences aren't super...
We can stab someone in the eye, no problem, with a pencil.
You can behead people. Yeah. You can do all kinds of stuff that's violent.
Sex bot? You are talking crazy.
And the cool thing is, like, there is some nudity in here, but it's actually all done fairly tasteful.
Well, tasteful, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's drawn...
The art's really good.
Art in it is freaking amazing. So I dig the art. That's actually what drew me in initially, and then I read it and was like, wow. This is some really weird, heady, mind-blowing type stuff.
That's what I like to do.
So
it was the art that caught my eye as well when I asked you about it. I was like, what is this? Because it was just the art looked so good on it.
And
that European art just catches you, man.
Oh, yeah. It gets you.
It's like an LED light.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So the original stuff was reproduced in a hardcover form from Titan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was originally a 5 or 6 issue miniseries. And then Marvel had done another one of this because it was kind of popular. But it was like a bunch of one-shots done by different people to look at different viewpoints.
Gotcha.
And that one was okay, but it was a little bit harder to follow because, like I said, it's at the time I didn't realize they were all one-shots. Because you'd read it and you'd be like, well, what does this have to do with the last one? And why is the art different? Why is it? And then you're like, oh, they're one-off stories that kind of surround the... Okay, I'm stupid.
Yeah.
So, but if you get a chance, I mean... Pick up the hardcovers, pick up the comic, give it a look through.
It's a different flavor of comic, which is always fun to
correct. Yeah, it's definitely not really a superhero book.
Oh, no.
No.
You not definitely question self and self-worth and that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. I dig it.
Yeah, it's
hopefully
really good.
Too.
Very nice.
All right, so what superhero book do you got, Zach?
Yes. So
since we're going to jump from one vast extreme to another.
So we'll go on the other end.
As we've talked about many times over this podcast, we try not to do the cliche things. We try not to do
really try hard, yeah.
We try not to
it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. We try, but just like Richie did last week with Batman, I have to do it this week with Action Comics 975. People who know me, they know something called the Zach... fist pump moment, and that's happened in Blackest Night, that happened in DC Rebirth, that's happened in Sinestro Corps War. So when that happens, it's a big thing.
Right.
And this issue here did that for me.
Okay.
As a Superman fan, Dan Jurgens took something that I never thought at all was involved in this storyline, and he made me realize that this whole time that they've been doing Action Comics since Rebirth has been a story about this this character.
Okay, and so there's a hidden like puppet master behind everything.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
In here, you find out who the other Clark Kent is, because that's been the big thing, is that there's been two Clark Kents running around.
Right.
The main Superman and another one. Who's this other one?
Right.
And that's been much speculation for months now with Superman fans. Is it this person? Is it this person from the 90s? Is this person from the, you know, all different kinds of crazy things.
Right.
No one picked who it was. And when I saw it, I just went, this is great. This is just Dan Jurgens showing that he loves Superman, that he understands the entire mythos, that he understands all the different villains and characters, and not just the main stuff. It's not just Doomsday, Lex Luthor, you know, Bizarro. There's deep cuts in this.
Right.
So, like I said, I think that even if you're not a Superman fan, you'll enjoy it because the way it's done is really cool. The way that the artist is Doug Mankey, who is, in my opinion, a great artist. He's the one who invented the mask, for the people who don't know.
His mask art, I loved. That four-issue series was amazing.
Well, and he's really become a DC artist. He did a lot of Green Lantern. He did the last issue of Final Crisis in 1 week when DC asked him to do that. And his artwork is just great, and he's the artist on this. And the way that he draws and the way he does the paneling and the reveal of what's going on in this issue, I thought was great. Like I said, I did not see it coming, but it makes so much sense. It's really cool what he did there. So,
hell, I'm even reading this.
Yeah, even Sean's reading the Action Comics. And Action Comics is definitely, it has that 90s Superman feel. So for people who read in the 90s of Superman, this is going to be, you know, the book that's going to be up your alley. And it's just great. Like I said, Dan Jurgens surprised me. He did something that I did not think that I was going to be surprised by.
Right.
Because they said, oh, we're going to reveal who this other Clark Kent is. And I went, okay. When they announce it, I'll go, oh, okay. But this one, I went, that's crazy and weird and wacky, and I love that you went there.
Well, and not only that, but, like, when Zach read this, he was super-duper excited. He's selling himself short at the moment. And he's showing me all these pictures. The thing about this, it kind of fell along with this week's Batman, is it's giving you, as you put it, your pizza with all the toppings. It's everything you just want to gorge yourself on and just be unhinged in your geekdom and just fall in this nice, sweet hot tub of love.
That's right.
And he gives you not only a reveal, but a page after page after page of reveal, shocking moment, then punch to the face. So these, you're left
and
after
then you get
this.
A hug. Wait, no, you don't.
No, you're just left there with the throbbing pain of passion in your nose and eye. You can't breathe right, but it's great. You feel
it is
good.
Great. Yes. No, exactly. Like you said, it's a smorgasbord for Superman fans. Uh-huh. And like I said, I think that you can read it without being a super Superman fan.
Yeah.
But being a Superman fan, all
this
the things.
This is a love letter.
Oh man, yeah. It's a Dan Jurgens is definitely one of my people.
Yeah.
He knows he loves Superman. And it was just great. So this issue was really good. Pick it up. Take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you can start on the Superman Reborn arc because they're kind of doing a crossover right now that's doing what's going on in his universe.
Right.
And this is the second part. So, you know, you probably read the first one and this one and just be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But great issue. I think it's worthy of love from DC fans.
All right. Excellent.
So, all right. So we're going to jump into our Spinning the Racks.
Mm-hmm.
Spinning the Racks. Spinning the Racks.
And tonight, we're going to have a fun discussion.
Correct.
And this is all spurred by the talks that we've been having.
Just several conversations
today.
In the store.
Yeah.
And
well, not just today, but all the time.
It's been a couple times now.
The biggest thing that it got brought up is the bad reviews for Iron Fist so far.
Which is yet to come out.
That comes out this Friday.
This Friday.
I don't understand why people listen to reviewers, but...
Right.
Well, I get it, but I mean, a lot of people
It's my personal thing. I never pay attention to them at all. I want to go experience it for myself, and if I like it, great, and if I don't, great.
I agree, and I don't usually, but with comic book stuff, it's one of those things where there's a lot of people that care about reviews, what's going on, and a lot of people have come up and said, hey, it's gotten really... The first six episodes, at least, have gotten really bad reviews. And what do you think about it? Because pretty much the through line on all of them has been the controversy of casting a white person to be Iron Fist.
Right.
Now, in the comic books, Iron Fist has always been white.
Correct.
And...
Danny Rand.
And the story has always been somebody in a review put it in and it's a fair criticism, but it is what it is. He's kind of the Green Arrow of Marvel.
Absolutely.
He's a rich kid who gets stranded somewhere.
Came back an awesome
superhero and is trying to make amends and trying to get his company back and try and do good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very Green Arrow-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been people that said that about the show as well. And so we wanted to talk about tonight, the slippery slope of what does that mean? Because as a comic book purist or a fan, I want to see Danny Rand as he is in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people said that they should have cast an Asian actor to play Iron Fist.
Right.
But that's not the way it is in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But other people say, well, this is an opportunity to do something different.
Could do a show called Deadly Hands of Kung Fu.
And do Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, and as a comic purist, at the end of the day, I'm a comic purist. I like different stories. I like, you know, doing some fun things.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I'm going to be fine if you make Captain America just... Captain America, if you make Thor, just Thor.
Right.
Like I said, I'm not saying that anything else, doing different things is bad. But I, personally, like, you know, if Hal Jordan started out as a white guy, he should be white. But you have Jon Stewart, too. I don't want them messing with Jon Stewart. I don't want you to change Jon Stewart into a white guy.
I would be critically offended if they were to try to make Luke Cage white.
That's what I'm saying.
That would drive me bonkers.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in both of your conversations here.
Yes.
Nick Fury.
Yeah. Yep.
Nick Fury, originally a crunchy old white dude who smokes cigars.
Sure.
Yeah. Right? Your classic.
David Hasselhoff, son.
He's your classic military, hardcore.
Yep.
That's what he was, right?
So
the Ultimates came out and basically modeled him completely after Samuel L. Jackson. And what did they use in the Avengers movies?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
The reason,
even though Nick Fury was originally a white guy.
I think that at least for geeks,
his roles. Now, don't misunderstand his roles. But Samuel Jackson's roles in all the different incarnations he's played throughout all the different Marvel movies was great.
It was fine.
It was awesome. Did a great Nick Fury.
Yeah. But you didn't see people railing against that.
Well, and
when he came out,
they said,
"Hey, we're going to have we're going to change this role to."
And I think that was given a pass because when Mark Miller brought out the Ultimates, he told Brian Hitch, "Draw Samuel Jackson, because if we ever made a movie, it'd be cool if he would be Nick Fury, but it'll never happen."
Right.
And then when it did happen, it was one of those, this is life and this really did happen. And I think a lot of geeks went, okay, because, you know, it's pretty crazy to go, draw Thor like this person, and then that person said yes, you would go, oh, okay, cool.
Well, here's the thing. So as a comic purist, you do always kind of want to look for what was in the comic first. And we did actually have a Sam Jackson, Nick Fury before the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So you could go to that, but... Continuing along those lines, what about the Ancient One from Doctor Strange?
Yep.
Turned into a woman.
Yes. But she was really good in the movie.
Really good in the movie.
She's really good in the movie.
She's a pretty decent actress anyway, but
she is a decent actress.
Do people freak out?
Some people did. Some people did. Mm-hmm. Some people did. And
people are freaking out right now about Ghost in the Shell. Well,
yeah,
not
Ghost
people,
in the Shell.
Critics.
Yeah.
Critic, yeah.
Well, and well, people well, on the internet.
People.
No,
yeah,
yeah but no, but I, you go... I've seen, news no, reports and stuff,
yep.
you know.
Well, and
people
I saw...
In, that are they're questioning, hey, you know, are you upset about
right.
her being this character? And they're like, no, we don't... have a good enough Asian actress that can cover this. So we're happy with this. We just want it on
the
screen.
I saw a video where they went to Japan and they asked people, and they said, all we care about is a good movie with a good actress. We don't really care.
So we, yeah, so the, I agree.
So
is the up in arms thing an American trait to get upset about it?
I don't know.
Because we all have voices and we all have internet, and that means we all have a soapbox. We do. Mm-hmm. And you could be the loudest single percent person.
That's true.
And you'll suddenly start getting news memes.
Well, that's true.
So how many people is it that are actually that?
Sure.
I mean, well, how many, what's the percentage of the population that's actually bothered by this? To me, I think it's actually a fraction of a fraction.
I would personally. I agree with that, and I don't think
unless
that,
you can get a bunch of people to jump on your bandwagon, it's a small,
correct,
non-problem.
Yeah.
It's not a problem at all.
And I would say that a lot of this issue, in general, spawns from a conversation piece. You know, not so much outrage as much as, well, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, where
I didn't see that.
Where does it come from? Is it culturally insensitive to say,
well, you're
white
going
guy
from,
goes...
Yeah, but you're going to a source here
right.
that was written 40 years ago, 50 years ago.
I agree with you.
And they're taking this directly from that source.
Yes.
They're not taking this and saying, hey, we're going to flip and turn this on its ear.
Right.
Sure. Sure. Well, and that's the...
Look, and as much as I loved, absolutely love, Michael Clark Duncan before he passed, he was Kingpin.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I didn't really like that movie very much because I really liked Daredevil.
Sure.
But him as Kingpin didn't bother me at all. I thought it was fine.
But then Vincent D'Onofrio comes out.
Well, the Vincent D'Onofrio one knocked that shit out of the park.
Right, yeah,
that was a much better telling of the story, and that was just
he
better.
He probably had a better writing, too.
So, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So even though I didn't mind Michael Clark Duncan as Kingpin, I mean, it was definitely, they took a character that was a giant, huge white dude and made him a giant, huge black dude.
sure. Well, and again, it's such, like I said earlier, it's such a slippery slope because it has worked in the past where they've changed a character.
Man, I would hate to be the people trying to think this up.
Yeah.
And trying to put these properties out.
Right.
You're going to get somebody, you're going to piss somebody off.
Right.
You're
always going to piss somebody off.
You are, because
we were talking about it.
It'd make me insane if I was a creator like that. I'd be like, this is just the source material, just let me alone. I'm just trying to put this out. Why are you bagging on this? I don't even.
This should have been forever ago.
It makes me wonder why that entertainers and artists keep putting stuff out. If everybody, you know, if a bunch of people on the internet can get on and troll them and troll them into silence.
Yeah, I think
it drives me nuts. I don't.
I think that artists
have your opinion,
people,
but I don't.
I think
why attack? Right?
Why attack so viciously sometimes?
Mm-hmm. I think they just wanna. I think that they know there are people out there that'll be okay and want good stories, and they're not gonna be bothered by it. But
I would also, I have an argument of. There's, you know, the whole, there is no such thing as bad press, you know?
Oh, well.
So you create a cultural
in
discussion.
Entertainment, sure.
Everybody can talk about Iron Fist, and if that's a talking piece, it's still talking about Iron Fist.
Yep.
And
some people may go, I'm going to check out this Iron Fist show, because everyone says that it's, you know, really bad at them. Or
we
whatever.
Didn't get to talk about this, but Luke Cage, when it came out, thought it was amazing. There was a real big backlash.
There was.
I don't want to say big, like oversell it, but like
no, but
there was a
people.
Backlash about saying that that wasn't a real representation of an
representation.
Actual black man.
Yeah.
And that was interesting.
Yeah, but then I saw the other side where there was black men coming out and being like,
right.
Yeah, that's pretty close to what I live my life like.
Correct.
I mean, I saw both sides of the argument coming from.
And that's what we.
Well,
same
but,
race
but
see,
coming
but
out and arguing both sides. I'm like, okay, what do you do with this?
And again, I mean, this could be a whole a college paper that you could write about this.
This is why we're discussing it. That's
because,
why it's fun.
Because
it's a
the
discussion
thing,
piece.
Going to Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Yeah, with Luke Cage, I just wanted a good story. And you
sure.
know what? You know what I got?
Sure.
It was an okay story.
Sure.
My feelings behind Luke Cage were it did drug a little bit. When he could have gone up to the main bad guy and taken care of your business pretty much in episode one, and they drug that out through a season, that's actually what bothered me.
Well, sure, but storyline and story stuff
great
is different.
Oh, dude, every time they were in that that club and there was the
somebody,
musicians they had on that show were amazing.
But so somebody brought up somebody.
Rest in peace, Sharon Jones.
One of our customers brought up a great loophole here too, though, with the Luke Cage, with
that's
the Iron Fist, right? A lot of people said, well, there were certain words and certain attitudes and certain things. certain mannerisms that Luke Cage didn't do. So that was misrepresenting black men. And it's again.
Yeah, but why are you stereotyping, typically pigeonholing and black men into one facade? Thing. Why are you doing that?
Yes, and so
why can't black men be whatever they want to be?
And why can't
you should be able to write them in any facet, in any shade or direction that you want.
Yeah. There were certain words that Luke Cage never wanted to say in the show.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people took offense to that. And the same thing with Iron Fist. They said,
racially slandering word.
A racial slandering word, but also Iron Fist, saying that a white man should be Asian that knows martial arts.
Because he's
I'm going to go ahead and drop the Chuck Norris bomb right about now.
Right.
Yeah. And
that was what he was kind of based off, was a Bruce Lee, Chuck Norris era.
They had, the time, they had Bruce Lee in comics.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
And again, Iron Fist was teamed up with Power Man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was one of the more socially relevant comic books in the 70s when it was coming out. They were trying to break that barrier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were trying to say that, you know, they... And again, maybe this is just me, but I think that when comic books have tried in the past to honestly try and do something, they're doing it in earnest. They're not trying to be racial or...
Correct.
Whatever, you know what I mean?
There's no malice behind any creation when they're trying to tell a story, at least in our opinion. I don't feel that.
I don't think when they invented Iron Fist, they were trying to talk down to black people or Asian culture or anything like that. I think they were trying to say, we can all get along here.
Correct.
Because there's a person that has drawn from Asian culture who is a rich white person, and there's a black person, and they're all getting together, and they're all mixing, and they're all helping people on the street. I think that that's them trying to, you know, say something about the story and about the 70s when it came out.
The thing that makes these discussions so powerful is it's hard to find someone that's wrong.
Yes.
You know, a lot of this is
subjective. But if you're pigeonholing a story about somebody who knows martial arts and saying they absolutely have to be Asian to be this, isn't that
basically?
But it's not. It's not.
You're going backwards and saying no. Nobody else can be no martial arts and be representations of this.
Yep.
It has to be Asian. In this day and age, it has to be Asian.
Correct.
Why does it have to be Asian?
In a perspective.
Why couldn't
lens.
It be? Why couldn't it be like a tiny little black woman that knows how to kick some ass?
Yeah.
I mean,
and they brought in Misty Knight.
I don't get it.
Correct.
You know, I mean, it's just funny to me because I feel like Marvel has done a great job through and through. That's one of the reasons why they're so successful, I think, because they go to who the character is.
Even the 70s stuff, though, like the 70s Power Man, Iron Fist, and Heroes for Hire and all that, that was still a little bit of blaxploitation.
Sure.
At the time. Like, Misty Knight is a blaxploitation.
Sure. I thought that... Wasn't it you that told us that Luke Cage in general was kind of like mimicking off of that fad that was blaxploitation?
Yeah. Yes? It was the same exact era.
Nope.
Right. And they even mock that in Luke Cage.
But going through eras, when people are trying to break boundaries and break molds...
Mm-hmm.
And comic book writers and creators, you know, artists, they've been trying to, they kind of follow social norms and try to do that.
We have discussed this, that the
even with Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, that's the famous issue where she goes and decides to be a black woman and go to the hood and join the Black Panther Party.
And
he was trying to,
broaden
boundaries. And you look at it now, and it's hokey and weird, and this seems like it's kind of racist.
Yeah, a little racist.
But I really believe that
but at the
guys
time, they were thinking, I want to break some boundaries with this. You know, at the time, this is how they thought they could do this.
Well, one of the greatest runs that people say of comics of all time, the 12 issues of Green Arrow, Green Lantern.
Right.
That's all that is.
It's all,
is
all
breaking it down and going and talking about
Green Arrow's
Indian,
the social justice warrior, and Green Lantern's learning from his faults.
They touch upon so many different things.
Right.
And people love that book. You know, so, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's a slippery slope trying to figure it out, because one of the things that just released was who they cast as Valkyrie in Thor Ragnarok.
Right.
They changed Valkyrie. to, if you've seen Westworld, she's the head honcho from that show, the really mean black woman from that show.
You mean the android?
No, the one that's really mean and is like the guy.
The one that doesn't come in until like halfway through?
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's who they got for Valkyrie.
Okay, I'm cool with that.
See, and that's the thing, is that I'm cool with it too. But why am I cool with that? But you know what I mean?
Well, and that's part of the, I was trying to get to, as
because in the comic point? She is blonde,
right.
blue-eyed, which is, you know, yeah. very, you know, very...
That's very Norse.
Very Norse,
Nordic, yeah.
Yeah, and so, and as a purist, I should say, no, it should be that. So,
you could roll this back to what Marvel's doing in comics now. And I know in the comics world it's different because there's a lot of stuff there. And it's the representations of the way they're doing the story that I don't like. Yeah. It's not necessarily that they changed, you know, Iron Man and got rid of him and now it's 15-year-old black girl. Right. There's not, you know, it's not necessarily that. It's how the stories are told to me.
Correct.
It's almost... It feels sometimes the way they're telling forced. These stories, it feels forced and almost weirdly condescending to me.
Right.
Which some people are fine with what they're being fed, and that's fine. Yeah. But for me, I'm like, it doesn't feel natural to transition like this.
And I was gonna
because
say,
they're trying to do it with everything. They're just ramming it down your
throat. And I was going to say, that's one of the things I think is good. I like that we're in a time now, you know, the last however many years, you want to say 10, 15, 20 years, that we've understood that, hey, when a lot of this was created, it was all white men. It was all white women, you know, and I like that we're saying we need to change that.
Yeah, I would agree with the argument of, because one of the biggest ones that come up is when I look at the Justice League, I don't see my representation. I see 5 white guys and 1 girl.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Plus, I'm not a superhero.
Yeah. But, you know, like, how do you identify potentially with a superhero in that matter?
Well, how do you identify with a superhero anyway? That's the representation of the perfect person. That's the Ubermensch.
Sure.
That's,
right.
What you're going with. And it's not, you know.
You could argue.
And, of course, starting in the, like, what, late 70s, early 80s, that's when you started getting faults in superheroes and going down the Dark Age path and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You started changing and mixing up tropes.
But it has to be, I think, in my opinion, it has to be organic. I think that.
But that's also perception, too.
It is perception.
I know I'm being devil's advocate because I actually agree with you.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But it's like anything with art. It's all subjective.
It's subjective, sure.
I mean, I honestly do not like Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. I cannot stand that character. And we sell it, and there's people that love it, and God bless them. I'm happy that they love it.
Absolutely.
That's totally fine. That's totally fine with
me. You don't like Batman,
but no, I think Batman is a complete and total sociopath.
Right.
But if a Batman story is written well, you know what I'm going to do?
Sure.
I'm going to read it.
The story's written well.
Because I like the story.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily have to love the character to be able to read the story.
And for me, I guess, and going to what, and like you said, it's all subjective. But I think that when you organically do something, it's a good thing. I think that when you play into, as we say, like the Green Lantern, the Green Lanterns, started out as changing different characters. And they've always done that, and they continue to do that even now.
Yeah, but that book is easy to do that with because there's a ton of them.
Sure.
And you can definitely focus on one character and start telling the backstory and the story of that character.
Yes, exactly, yes.
But, the biggest problem that, like, Marvel has with their movies and TV properties compared to their comic books is comic books look nothing like their movies and TVs right now.
That's true.
Because they're going back to the original source material to tell these movies and TV shows. And the comics are, they're trying to shake it up and change it up and be progressive.
Yes. And
it's different when you have somebody who watches the movies and comes in and says, hey, I don't understand what this is.
Find Iron Man right now.
Yeah, why isn't this Peter Parker? I don't get it. Why isn't this, you know, Thor? What is going on here?
Yeah, Spider-Man's about to get really huge, and we're going to have to explain to everybody. There's one comic you can go with, but Miles Morales is pretty much Spider-Man right now.
But people getting hung up on stuff like, you know, why is Danny Rand a white guy? Well, because this is the way the story was originally told. I understand that maybe you feel like it's insensitive to Asian culture, but technically it's not because it wasn't ever supposed to or meant to be.
Yeah, exactly.
That was not the intent. The intent was not to be, you know, offensive to anybody, not necessarily.
Yeah.
In the context of when the story was written, that's where they're pulling the source material from.
Sure.
So that's where they're building the show from.
Yeah.
That's where they're building all the movies and all the shows. A lot of them are done from the source material.
Yep. And I think that And they've done it pretty much with almost every
character. If you don't like
character.
The source material, don't watch the show.
Well, sure. Well, sure. But like I said, it's...
You can watch the first episode, and if you think, hey, this is boring as hell, I'm not watching this.
Right.
Turn it off. Mm-hmm. Don't ever watch it again. Don't support it. And you know what they won't do? Make any more.
Right.
If you do like it, and everybody gets on the, you know, the Iron Fist bandwagon and says, hoorah, this guy kicks some ass, I want to watch more of this, then you'll get more audience, and people will watch it, and they'll forget all about this conversation we're having right now.
Yes, I would agree with that. Like I said, we agree that's perspective. I wanted to see if we can get to... I just want to see if something affects you or not. Character-wise, okay?
Okay.
Because I agree with... It's an interesting
thing
about...
Sorry, I know I went off on a crazy-ass rant there for a little bit.
No, it's fine. That's exactly why we chose you. This thing. Yeah,
it's an interesting...
It's sort of things.
Yeah. It's an interesting discussion, for
but
sure.
But, like, so with our lack of care for things like Valkyrie or, you know, who plays, let's even say... Ancient One, or you know, with those characters, why would it offend you if Luke Cage was white?
So
that would throw me for a loop.
I think it would be offensive because
I guarantee you that would be a louder cry, than anything else we've heard.
Well, because I think that the whole point of that character
he's supposed to be a representation of the street level.
Yes, and he's supposed to do that. And I think that no matter I thought you were gonna ask, no matter even if they change the people, how important is it that they keep the characteristics of who they are in the comic?
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is an absolute. So to me, that's an absolute.
Well,
You could go with this representation of Old Man Logan then. The comic compared to the movie.
Correct.
The movie was completely different than the
comic. Completely
different. But the beats and the pacing were there.
Yes.
The basic concept and idea behind what the story was supposed to represent was completely there in the movie.
Absolutely.
I believe. Yeah. In my opinion.
I would agree.
Yes. And
if you like this movie, is IMO.
And if you like the movie or you didn't like the movie, it still had those major points and those major plot points that were going on.
Right. Valkyrie in Thor Ragnarok.
They definitely added X-23. It has completely.
Thor, Valkyrie and Thor Ragnarok, she needs to be Valkyrie.
Okay.
She needs to have the...
If she's out there kicking much ass, doing the Valkyrie thing...
Yep, and being like I'm great and I'm just as good as you, Thor, that she, you know, does.
Uh-huh.
Great. But if that's the thing that I really don't like is when they change a character and they go, well, you know, he's loyal in the comics, but he's deceptive in the show or movie.
Right.
No, right. That's
a different character.
That's bad. Okay. No matter
it's a different
who's
character.
Playing it.
It's a different character build. So here's another example. I personally did not like Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
In
Constantine?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I agree with you.
Because to me, the hundreds of issues that I'd read of that character, he did not represent that character.
No, he didn't.
The movie was flashy and kind of fun to watch.
The movie is good
but
if it was not a Constantine movie.
If it was fine.
Anything else, that'd be an awesome movie.
It would be a good movie. Dude does magic and like defeats the devil.
Sweet. Great. Love this movie.
I agree with you.
And that one actually bothered me just simply for the fact that he didn't represent what I thought the character was.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't represent the beats and pacing of the character.
Sure.
That's why I didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know.
And I actually think Keanu Reeves, for as much shit people give him for being a bad actor, I don't think he's necessarily...
I don't think he's a bad actor.
I think there's been movies in where he acted flat and stale.
Yes.
Have you ever seen Devil's Advocate?
Mm-hmm.
Terrible in that.
He's terrible in Dracula.
Terrible,
But you know what, though?
You fiend or whatever he says?
You fiend!
Yeah, that's...
He sees Gary Oldman from across the street.
You
fiend!
Like, way to go, Bill.
What?
Bill and Ted suddenly showed up.
But you know what, though? He's a cool guy, like a really good guy. And when you get him on a good role, i.e. Matrix, i.e. John Wick, he can kill it.
Yeah.
But that's a weird tangent. But anyway.
So I gotta throw the big one.
Yes.
Can Superman be black? Can you cast a black man?
Superman absolutely can be black.
And do it.
Is Superman going to be the representation of...
If he does the character.
Because Superman inherently is the reputation of what is the best in humanity.
In humanity, yes.
So it doesn't matter if he's white or black or Chinese, or Japanese, or...
So it doesn't affect you.
That
it
does not affect
Zach, me. That giant Superman
See? Why are you doing this?
I did it.
Throw down the gauntlet.
I did it because I didn't want to ask about Batman.
Loved Batman was black.
So I've had this
Batman
discussion.
Wears all black anyway.
Yeah, no, he does. He difference.
An Idris Elba Batman to me.
That would be tough. I'd be so down for that.
Well, you know what?
I honestly think you could stick Idris Elba in any role, and I'd probably be happy. Yeah. That guy is a badass.
Because if he can't be 007, I think I'm okay with him being Bruce Wayne.
That would be
yeah, he can be whatever to me.
Well, you know what? I did enjoy it in Grant Morrison.
He could play a pregnant white woman, and I'd be like, this is the shit.
This is well done.
Idris Elba, you go, boy.
I
have this baby.
I did enjoy it in Grant Morrison's run when
that scene in Luther's.
Oh my god, he's so good.
When he turned
I'm totally geeking out.
Yeah, it's, when he brought in the Earth, I forgot what Earth he's from, but it's Barack Obama as Superman. I didn't mind that. I enjoyed that.
So you didn't answer the question yet.
Yeah. No, I know.
Don't skirt the questions. I know we went off on the Idris Elba love, but you gotta.
Well, because I've had this discussion myself. one of our good friends is a black man.
Yes,
and he is a huge Superman fan. He's been a Superman fan for longer
than
I have.
It'd be interesting to ask Anthony.
I have before.
If this would actually.
He's against it, isn't he?
Yeah. He's kind of like. It's really weird is that he's like, no, this is who the character is, and I said, well, what, you know, and here's something else I find really interesting. Again, this could be hours of talking.
Yes.
But he
we'll wrap up in a minute.
But
I had to get this hard one out.
Sure.
But seems struggle.
But Anthony and I think a lot of people
when
said
it turns into a struggle.
That's right.
I think Anthony and a lot of people. They're like, I care about the characteristics. I love about who he is. And Anthony has told me that it doesn't bother him that his favorite character of all time is a white guy. He says, that doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. The things that he does, the way he feels about life, the way he goes about it, is what I care about. It's not the skin color. So flipping it, you know,
He loves the representations of superheroes, though. Anthony very much. And I've known Anthony for like 20 years.
So you know what? Idris Elba, probably. Yes, that would be pretty awesome as if he was Superman.
Right. See? You can play anybody.
Wolverine. He's the next Wolverine.
I'd be down with that, man. Fine. That guy
but you know
amazing.
What? But
giant again, Wolverine.
So you know what? I will say yes, it's fine, as long as he's Superman.
Correct.
If you say, oh, now he's going to totally change who he is or his morals or anything like that, then that is a different character.
Correct. And I would agree with that. I believe that if they announce Batman as being a black person, I would say, oh, okay, what's he gonna show me his performance.
I just want you to tell me a good story, and I want
that's
the acting to be good.
Yeah. I think that the character and the story behind it are going to be way more important than anything else.
It's not Superman.
That's right. If it hits, people do this with their costumes. They do this with the fact of the matter is that race will be a discussion forever, as does like we did back in the day. Couple podcasts ago, we did redesign.
Yep.
There's just as much as heated conversation about Wonder Woman's skirt.
You changed that S on Superman's chest. Where is his underwear? Underwear?
There's more heated conversations about his underwear.
There are people who don't read these new books because of his costume.
Correct.
That is so limiting. That is so narrow-minded.
Right.
Yeah. I apologize to anybody who's narrow-minded out there, by the way.
We can block that out, right?
No, you gotta leave it in.
As long as you get the characteristics about who it is, as long as because these characters,
if Donald Trump could act, could he be Superman?
Negative.
No.
Oh, yeah. Orange is no good.
But as long as the characters.
What?
As long as
I apologize to any Trump supporters out there.
As long as the characters
stand politically at all, that's just skin color.
As long as
spray on tans are terrible.
The reason why people come back to these characters, whoever it is, Luke Cage, Superman, Iron Fist, Iron Man, there's something about their character that you love and that you identify with, or maybe even you don't identify with.
Yeah, you know why Trump can't be Superman? because he does not represent any of those morals.
We said we wouldn't go down the rabbit hole.
Too late. No, you opened the door.
I did not.
The door cracked open. I kicked that in.
We're closing.
You Idris Elba'd the door?
We're closing it.
Idris Elba'd the hell out of that door.
That was a great scene when he loses it. You're like, do not make him mad.
If you haven't seen Luther, it's a British show. You need to go find it and watch all of it.
If you take anything from this episode, go watch Luther.
Because Idris Elba loves all over.
I believe that if we just have Idris Elba, we can forgo all race.
We can just play everybody.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Hey, Thor, Idris Elba, Captain
Sweet,
America.
I'm on board.
He's all of the Avengers.
Yeah, it's fine.
And you know what?
Just digitally,
I would pay my $12.
Damn right.
Black Widow.
Idris Elba. Yeah, leather suit, nice. All right.
Do you have a final thought? I think that it's definitely an opinionated thing. It's definitely correct. In your opinion.
Art is subjective.
I would say
the best thing you can do is seriously give it a chance. And if you do not like it, do not buy it. Do not watch it. Do not support it.
Yeah, and I definitely think that you should give.
But
stuff.
going completely radical and losing your damn mind about why.
Yeah.
And that's like kind of a waste of energy.
Well, and like you brought up, like with the Ghost in the Shell movie, you should go see that movie. See if you enjoy the movie, if they did the source material right, if they made a really good movie. And
I guarantee you the source material is going to be way different.
It's going to be different. Well, yeah. But you know what I'm saying?
That's cool.
Instead of prejudging stuff, definitely go in with an open mind and base it off of that.
Absolutely hated the idea that Ben Affleck was going to be Batman. Yeah. Absolutely hated the idea that Heath Ledger was going to be the Joker.
How many people hated Rocket and Groot?
Yeah, they were like, "This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard." You know how many people, how many times we had to have that
now
conversation?
They're wearing a Rocket and Groot shirt.
Oh my god! Now people are like, "I love Groot. He's my favorite character. He's so cool. Now that he's a little Groot, he's even cuter."
I'm sure they sound more intelligent than that.
No, this is pretty much exactly what they sound like.
So,
I apologize to anybody out there.
We're just gonna have a whole podcast of Sean apologizing. So
that's our next one. Is just what I apologies.
What I would say is that when it comes to you liking something or disliking, the trick to knowing is
before
that
you lose your damn mind.
You are not
view it.
Wrong.
View the substance.
No,
first.
You're not.
But here's the other thing: you're not right either. So make sure you understand that and let people enjoy what they enjoy, and don't participate in things you don't like.
There you go.
I'll sum all that up real quick. Chiggity check yourself before you riggity wreck yourself.
Boom.
I feel like that's good.
All right.
So we'll be back next week with some
a little lighthearted.
A little bit more lighthearted. Yeah.
No, this is fun. I love these conversations.
Because you know that there's probably one person out there that's yelling at their iPod right now.
Right.
That is like,
oh, they'll never listen to us again.
We're sorry we lost you. But
I apologize to that one person out there with the one iPod. People don't use iPods anymore. It's iPhones.
Okay, or their computers, or their thing that's...
Only archaic grandpas like me use
their iPods. Yeah, their phones.
Just spinning the wheel the whole time.
Exactly.
I'm going to get there.
And yeah, I'm poopies.
But next week, we'll go back to just... Well, I mean, this is geeky too.
No, we'll figure something out. That's going to be horrible.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
All right, well, enjoy. We'll see you next week for that fun.
Yeah.
And we will see you on the Flippity Flop.
Bye.